the information obtained to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map in a matter requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced, and the director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning and zoning hearing, and those meetings will be minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present witnesses supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and give your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, give the name of that group or organization. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. You're not required to read your handwritten statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And now for the first hearing, Mr. Lank.
Yes, conditional use number 1851, the application of Steve Drummond, is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for automotive repair to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 5 acres, more or less, lying east of Fire Tower Road, also known as Road 479. 1,515 feet north of Route 9. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application August 26th of 2010. On August 16th of 2010, the applicant had provided an exhibit booklet for this application for the commission's review, and it has been of the record in the file since August 16th. We received comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department. Those comments are summaries are a part of my report. Steve and Kathy Drummond were present with Dennis Schrader, attorney with Wilson, Ibrook, and Byard, and gave testimony. Tom Dunn and Brian Kinkowski were present in support of the application and gave testimony. There were no parties present in opposition to this application. At the conclusion of public hearings, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1851 for Steve Drummond for automotive repair based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property is the applicant's residence and it will maintain a predominantly residential character and appearance. The use is limited and will have no adverse impact upon traffic. The use is located in the center of a large wooded lot. The use will not have an adverse effect on neighboring properties or the community. The use is a benefit to the residents of Sussex County, and this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. One, no engine or transmission work shall be performed outdoors. Two, all waste oils or other petroleum products removed from engines or transmissions on site shall be removed by a licensed waste hauler. Three, there shall not be any outside storage of junk vehicles, automotive parts, used tires, or other similar materials arising out of the applicant's business. Four, the hours of operation shall be Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The business shall be closed on Sundays. Five, any security lights shall be downward screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Six, no vehicles for sale shall be displayed on the premise. Seven, the project shall provide no more than 3 off-street parking spaces for race cars and 4 spaces for car haulers or tow trucks. Location of the parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan. Eight, the owner applicant may service his own personal vehicles on the project site. Nine, signage shall not exceed 6 square feet on each side and shall not be lighted. And 10, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Ross, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 5-0. I received no additional comments or from any individual or agency to date since the public hearing on August 26th. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Schrader.
For the benefit of the record, I'm Dennis Schrader. I represent the interests of Mr. and Mrs. Drummond, who are the owners of this property. They were sitting with me here in the third row on your right. They have filed this application known as conditional use number 1851. As Lawrence noted, we have submitted to you a book that contains about 7 exhibits that shows to you the items of information that you need today to make a proper decision on behalf of this particular application. Not to be too terribly redundant about what Lawrence has had to say, I would like to point out a couple things to you. Mr. Drummond's property is located on Fire Tower Road near Laurel, Delaware. It contains about 5 acres. Is located in an agricultural residential district. The area in which Mr. Drummond's business is located is one that is generally populated by single-family dwellings and is of a residential nature. In fact, the site where this particular project is located is also the home place of the Drummond family. There is currently existing on this site a mechanics shop that was established by Mr. Drummond in 2002. And has his primary job, that is building race motors for drag cars. He also works on and builds chassis. Things that he does not do is body work. He does not do any automotive work for any customers who would drive up like you or I would, asking to have oil change, tire change, or anything like that. He is strictly into a customer base that's based upon drag racing and automotive racing. Typically, a vehicle or a car or an engine will come into his facility for manufacture or fabrication and will be there for about 2 months before it goes on to another location or back into the body and onto a racetrack. This particular area is designated on the comprehensive land map as a low-density area. There is no additional traffic that will be generated by this particular project. There is no on-site sanitary waste disposal that is required other than that which Lawrence described as a part of the conditions of approval from the Planning Commission, and that is that there will be waste oil products generated by the automotive repair activities on site. Those are currently being taken care of by a licensed waste hauler so that they are properly disposed of without any on-site contamination. There is no requirement for any public water supply, and the on-site well that is there is for the domestic use of the Drummond family and for this particular application. No delineated wetlands. I have submitted to you a location map. Insofar as this site is concerned, there is a house that is approximately 200 yards away, which is the closest dwelling to this site. The entrance, the layout, the stormwater management, the wastewater treatment, the layout of the site, the water, the well, all remain as you see them today if you've had the opportunity to visit the site. There are no current plans by Mr. and Mrs. Drummond to do anything to use the residual lands other than as they are being used currently. If they were to have new plans to use the residual lands for another purpose, then of course they would have to come back and file either another conditional use or a change of zone application, depending upon what the case may be at that time. The purpose of having a conditional use is to allow for you as the governing body of the county to provide for public or semi-public uses that are somewhat the square pegs and round hole. They're not necessarily something that fits into a general zone, such as a GB or a MB district or a GR district, but rather something that is desirable and convenient for the citizens of Sussex County, but it requires the exercise of zoning judgment. This is that particular type of application. And last, I'd like to point out that Mr. Drummond opened this business in 2002 when he was the happy beneficiary of a notice of violation last year. Thank you, John. Ms. Dewar. I wasn't going to let that go by. And obviously, he is a highly motivated young man to come in here and get this application. The point of all that is, of course, is that he has existed for 8 years without having any problems when he got violated. There's no reason to believe that he would have any problems in the future and that he can continue to use his site as he chooses if you are willing to grant him permission to do so. And I'd also point out for those who visited this site, it's fairly wooded. And so any opportunity to be seen from the road, I couldn't see it from the road. My partner, Mr. Hutt, and I missed it the first time we drove out there to see the site because of it being wooded. And certainly the woods will do anything that will prevent any noise, odor, or any other issues arising from the shop affecting the neighbors. Mr. Drummond, if you'll step up or just stand up and say loudly, are you Mr. Drummond?
Yes, I am.
And everything that I've said this afternoon on your behalf is true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. We're available to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any questions from council?
I'm just curious what brought up the notice of violation. Was there a problem with the operation of the business? Did somebody was unhappy?
We think that we don't know who the we don't know because it's the county's policy not to identify
right.
the complainant, but we believe that there was a night when a noisy motor offended somebody. And in 8 years of operation, that happened only one time, and that person did not see fit to come and oppose the application.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that the situation has been remedied.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor? If not, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, I feel that it would be appropriate to close the public hearing and the public record if the council so deems.
Very good. Does council have any comments? Not, we'll ask the attorney to read the title.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR agricultural residential district for automotive repair to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 5.0 acres more or less, and subject to the following conditions. One, no engine or transmission work shall be performed outdoors. Two, all waste oils or other petroleum products removed from engines or transmissions on site shall be removed by a licensed waste hauler. Three, there shall not be any outside storage of junk vehicles, automobile parts, used tires, or other similar materials arising out of the applicant's business. Four, the hours of operation shall be Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The business shall be closed on Sundays. Five, any security lights shall be downward screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Six, no vehicles for sale shall be displayed on the premises. Seven, the project shall provide no more than three off-street parking spaces for race cars and four spaces for car haulers or tow trucks. The location of the parking area shall be shown on the final site plan. Eight, the owner applicant may service his own personal vehicles on the project site. Nine, signage shall not exceed 6 square feet on each side and shall not be lighted. 10, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I'll entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second. I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1851. Is there any further discussion?
I have a question. If he were to, say, move his business to another location, then this conditional use would die, wouldn't it, for lack of using it?
Goes away.
For 3 years or would it right away? 3 years after 3 years?
Unless he sold it or something.
Well, yeah.
He could also lease it to somebody, could operate.
Mm-hmm. It's not a limited question whether the business went somewhere else.
Yes, it's not, for some reason he closed it down.
Then the use becomes void on that site.
After how much time?
Typically, non-conforming use is 2 years.
2 years.
Right. In case everyone wanted to go back.
I just wanted to bring it up just so the applicant would be aware of it.
Good. Any other questions? We'll take the vote, Ms. Deaver. Give your reasons for your vote.
Yes, I vote yes for the reasons as stipulated by the Planning and Zoning Commission and with the conditions.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes. Since there's no one opposed it, Planning and Zoning went along with it. I see no reason why not.
Mr. Cole?
I believe a yes vote with the conditions, which will keep it in compliance with and compatible with the neighborhood.
Mr. Vincent?
Based on recommendation of Planning and Zoning and the stipulations they put on it, and being as in my district, I visited that site, and you have to really look for it to find it, so it's not going to be made by his way, I don't think. I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. It's got a positive track record and doesn't seem to be offensive to the community. Motion carried.
Thank you.
The second application is the application of Charles P. Moore, conditional use number 1852. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for automotive repair, towing service, and auto sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Mary with 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.658 acres, more or less, lying south of Road 283, 312 feet southeast of Road 283A. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on August 26th of 2010. On August 16th of 2010, the applicant did provide the staff with an exhibit booklet for distribution to the commission members and has been a part of the record since that date. We received comments from DLDOT, no comments were requested from DLDOT since the repair and towing service already exists, and the only change would be the addition of automotive sales. We also received comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We received a letter from J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company in support of the application. They are the surrounding property owners. Charles Moore was present with David Hutt, attorney with Wilson, Howbrook, and Byard, and he gave testimony. Mr. Hutt also submitted 6 additional letters in support of the application. Those names of those letter writers are part of the record. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Robertson reminded the commission that although this would advertise as a new conditional use, it is actually the extension of an existing approved conditional use with its own conditions. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1852 for Charles B. Moore to allow auto sales based upon the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. One, in 1995, council approved conditional use number 1097, which allowed for automotive repair and towing service. Two, this application is consistent with the character of the existing approved use and will allow Mr. Moore to the ability to sell or dispose of vehicles recovered as part of his towing service. Three, the applicant tows vehicles for a number of municipalities, police departments, and the Cape and Lopen State Park. There is an ongoing need for these services, and these services leave Mr. Moore to deal with and sell some of the vehicles, which requires a dealer's license from the Department of Motor Vehicle. Four, the proposed use will have no additional impact on traffic on neighboring properties. Five, the expanded use meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance because it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, and welfare of the Sussex County. And six, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. One, there shall be no more than 15 cars for sale on the site at any one time. Two, there shall be an area of approximately 20 feet by 95 feet for the display of vehicles for sale. The area set aside for vehicle sales shall be shown on the final site plan. Three, the existing conditions of conditional use number 1097 shall remain in effect. and four of the revised site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. I received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date since the 26th of August. For the benefit of the council, I hesitated to pass down copies of the exhibit booklet I previously referenced. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon. My name is David Hutt. I represent the applicant, Charles P. Moore, with Coastal Towing, situated along Cedar Grove Road. Mr. Moore is sitting here on my left, your right. As Mr. Lang just reviewed for you, this is a property located along Cedar Grove Road that consists of just slightly more than 2.5 acres. It's zoned AR1. There was a conditional use for auto repair and towing services that was granted by this council in 1995. And to give you a little bit more historical background, last July, Mr. Moore sent a letter to Mr. Lang requesting that he receive an approval letter from Mr. Lang so that he could obtain a dealer's license through the Department of Motor Vehicles, as he was having a lot of vehicles, whether they be from the repair side or the tow side of his business, that were left with him by customers. And if you sell more than a certain number of vehicles, the Department of Motor Vehicles considers you a dealer, and it also helps his business with respect to the document preparation fees. Mr. Lank placed the item on the agenda for one of the Planning Commission's mid-month meeting in August of 2009. The Planning Commission considered the matter and asked Mr. Moore to file an application for an extension of the conditional use and submit this question to the public hearing process. And we obviously were at the Planning and Zoning Commission in August, and now we're in front of the council here. As was indicated, there was no traffic impact study required because this is an accessory use to what has already existed on the property since 1995. There's also no change in the on-site water or septic service. And at this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Moore to come up here and answer a few questions, if he would, to give a little bit more background. If you could introduce yourself to the council.
My name is Charles Moore, the owner of Coastal Towing and Repair.
How long have you owned this property?
I think I purchased it in 1994.
And how long has Coastal Towing existed at the property and operated its business there?
Since about May of 1996.
If you could, for the council, obviously it's situated on Cedar Grove Road, off of Plantations Road. What surrounds Coastal Towing?
Just cornfields and woods right now.
And on how many sides are the cornfields and or woods?
Field in the front, field to the right, woods to the back and left.
And who owns the lands that, all of the land that surrounds Coastal Towing?
J.G. Townsend.
And as Mr. Lank indicated, there is a letter of support from J.G. Townsend, which owns all of the property that surrounds Coastal Towing. If you could describe for the council what Coastal Towing does, what is your business operation?
We're a towing company for the state of Delaware, police departments, Rehoboth Police, Lewis Police, and Dewey Beach, and we tow for the park rangers. We fix people's customers' cars, oil changes, and grease jobs, and set tires, and alignments, and automobile repair. We work on school buses, too.
And I summarized, I think, quickly a few moments ago why you sent your letter to Mr. Lank last July. If you could, in your own words, describe for the council why you're asking to have a dealer's license for this site.
Okay. We do acquire cars. Sometimes we tow a car in and a person has gone to jail and the family will give us the car. At that time, it would be nice to sell it. And if you had a dealer's tag, you can allow somebody to test drive the car. If not, I have to put the car personally in my name and go to my insurance agent and put it in my name personally. By the time you do that, it's not worth the time and motor vehicle spent. If you are a dealer, there's some shortcuts that allow you to sell a car more easily without spending a ton of money with your personal insurance agent and motor vehicle.
At any one time, how many cars do you think come into your possession that you have on site that you need to get rid of because you've acquired title to the car?
A while back, very little, but now with the economy, we seem to have quite a few cars. A lot of people give up their cars pretty easily because with the way the economy is, they don't have insurance, and by the time they can't afford to get the car out. So I sometimes offer them money just to give me the title. That way I don't crush the car. I can sell the car and do better.
The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended that there be no more than 15 vehicles for sale at any one time on the site. Is that an adequate number to cover how many vehicles would be on your site potentially for
sale? That's plenty.
There is, in the exhibit notebook, which was distributed to the members of council at tab 9, a plot of the property. I'm going to ask Mr. Moore a couple of questions about that. Is that currently what exists on site at Coastal Towing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the right-hand side of the property, there's an area indicated, the dimensions are indicated as 95 feet by 20 feet automotive display area. Mm-hmm. Is that where you would anticipate displaying cars for sale?
That'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. And if we were to go to that site, to your site right now, what would be in that area that was shaded and noted as automotive display area?
There'd be cars sitting there right now.
So there would, in effect, be no change to what's sitting there, except those cars would be the ones that would be displayed for sale?
Well, the ones that are there now are just sitting there either to be sold or to be picked up by the salvage company.
Would your hours of operation change at Coastal Towing if the council approves this?
No.
Would the parking configuration change at Coastal Towing?
No.
The number of employees change?
No.
Do you intend to become a used car dealer with flags and banners, balloons, streamers,
no.
flashing lights?
No.
Does the Department of Motor Vehicle require you to have any signage or indication that you are a car dealer?
Yeah, and we already talked to, I think it's the sign company, about adding the next block above the sign. It would be like just a letterhead that goes atop the Coastal Towing sign.
And that would indicate that you are a dealer?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. In summary, Mr. Moore's request is fairly simple and straightforward. As an accessory use of the current business that's been operating there since 1995, to expand that to allow for automobile sales so that he can have a letter of approval from the zoning official, which is required by the Department of Motor Vehicle in order to issue a dealer's license. As was indicated in the planning and zoning recommendation, this will not have a negative impact on the surrounding area because we already know what this conditional use will entail, because that's what exists on site and that would continue to exist on site. We're ready if the council has any questions for us.
Any questions from council? Do you have anything else, Mr. Hutt?
I do not.
Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, Mr. President, I feel it's appropriate to close the public hearing, and if council so deems, to close the public record.
Does council have any comment? Okay, it'll be closed. And you can read the title, please.
Okay. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for automotive repair, towing, service, and auto sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 2.658 acres, more or less, with the following conditions. There shall be no more than 15 cars for sale on the site at any one time. Two, there shall be an area approximately 20 feet by 95 feet for the display of vehicles for sale. The area set aside for vehicle sales shall be shown on the final site plan. Three, the existing conditions of CU number 1097 shall remain in effect. Four, the revised site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I'll make the motion.
Could I get a second, please?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1852 on behalf of Charles Moore. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, for the reasons given by Planning and Zoning and with the conditions.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes, according to P&Z.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, I'll vote yes to, and I agree with the findings of Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Vincent?
I agree with the findings and recommendation of Planning and Zoning, I vote yes.
When it's appropriate use, I vote yes. Motion carried.
Next application is conditional use number 1865. The application of Randy L. Hill to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a deli and small convenience store to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 41 hundredths of an acre, more or less, lying at the intersection of Route 24, also known as Sharptown Road, on the southerly side, and Road 510, Horsey Church Road, on the northerly side. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 26th of 2010. An exhibit booklet was provided to the staff on August 13th, 2010, for distribution to the commission. Make those copies available now for the council. We heard comments from Department of Transportation, Sussex Conservation District, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We also received 10 letters in support. And those names of those letter writers are a part of the record. Randy Hill was president with Shannon Carmine, attorney with Sergovic and Carmine Professional Association, and also Barry Spicer. All gave testimony. Jimmy Watts, Doug Henry, and Drew Ward all were present in support and gave testimony. At conclusion, the commission, there were no parties present in opposition to the application. At conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1865 for Andy L. Hill for a deli and small convenience store based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the site in the building previously on it were used as a deli and small convenience store since the 1940s until it was destroyed by fire in 2005. This use will be consistent with the historical use of the site. Two, since this is the approval of a legal pre-existing but non-conforming use, there will be no adverse impact on traffic or the neighborhood through the continuation of the use. Four, the use serves the general convenience and welfare of residents of the area of Sussex County. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to the application, and the project is supported by many area residents. And five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be limited to the existing one-story building. Two, the use shall be limited to a deli and small convenience store. Three, parking shall meet or exceed the parking requirements contained in the zoning ordinance, or zoning code, excuse me. Four, the hours of operation shall be limited to the hours between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Five, one double-sided lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. Six, all exterior lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Seven, the sale or storage for sale of gas, diesel, or kerosene is prohibited. Eight, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. Again, I have received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date since the 26th of August. And that's all I have, Ms. Shepard.
Any questions from council?
He's not operating the store now. It burned down. Is that what I understand?
That's right. The store the building has been reconstructed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not occupied yet for the purpose of the deli or store.
So he's going to go ahead with it. If he doesn't, then this conditional use would expire after, 3 years?
If it's approved and it doesn't go into business, he has 3 years.
Right. Okay.
If not, Mr. Sergovic.
For the record, my name is John Sergovic with the firm of Sergovic and Carmine. We represent the applicant, Randy Hill. I don't want to be redundant of what Mr. Lank said, but I'll just outline what the application is all about. We're seeking a conditional use of land for a deli and small convenience store. The land is located at the intersection of Route 24, Sharptown Road, and Road 510, the Horsey Church Road. It contains about 0.41 acres of land. We have submitted a booklet that outlines some historic pictures of the previous South Fork Deli, the current construction, reconstruction of the property by Mr. Hill, and he's used the property for personal storage, and he was permitted to rehabilitate the previous deli building for that purpose. The site is currently improved by a one-story building, which is the previous South Fork Deli. The site also contains a two-story masonry building, and I want to mention that now because in the planning and zoning findings, they didn't mention the use of the two-story masonry building, and we want to make sure that we can utilize that in concert with the proposed deli. Again, the applicant seeking to reestablish the South Fork Deli, according to the applicant's research, it operated at that site for approximately five decades, and that use accommodated the needs of the local residents. The nearest convenience store to the subject site is approximately 1.7 miles away. Again, according to Mr. Hill's research, the use started in 1942, and it was a successful operation for those five decades. Unfortunately, the building burned in 2005. There was difficulty with insurance, and I think eventually the owner went bankrupt, and Mr. Hill was able to acquire the property in approximately 2009, I'm sorry. After he took title to the property, he rehabilitated the building, obtaining a building permit for personal storage. And as a result of the fire, the previous use, non-conform use status lapsed, and therefore, in order to reestablish this historically used commercial operation in a rather rural setting, requires the conditional use application. The applicant's proposed use would meet the needs of the community by providing services and convenience goods to nearby residents and would be in character with the uses of the surrounding property. The application is within an AR1 zoning district. The AR1 zoning district allows conditional uses within the district where it is important to cite the uses in accordance with the sound planning criteria. The Sussex County plan update of 2008 finds the property to be located in a low density district. The low density district allows both retail and office uses if their uses provide convenience goods and services to the nearby residents. Therefore, we believe this application is in conformity with the comprehensive plan. Again, we propose operations 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Friday through Saturday. The operator of the proposed use would be Barry Spicer, and he's anxious to try to start making this a viable business operation as it has been in the past. I believe that covers the general outline. I just asked Mr. Hill that is the testimony I just gave true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Mr. Sergovic, you mentioned the two-story masonry building that was there, and I looked through the findings that your office had prepared, and it was mentioned, however, did not indicate what use for that building.
It should be just used in concert with the one-story deli operation. In other words, we'd like to use it for purposes of storage of goods and other related uses to that main deli convenience store structure.
Mr. Lank, was that part of the application too?
The only part of the application for the site.
Okay.
Right.
And it made reference to the deli and convenience store. It doesn't separate the two buildings.
Okay.
So it wasn't really discussed in the public hearing, the second building, other than the fact that it was there.
Okay. It would be appropriate to have our findings, or it could, if the council desired, amend the findings to refer to that two-story building.
Sure. And the thing we would also have to do is, since if the council were to adopt the conditions of the commission, then they would be limited to the use being the deli and convenience store, but it would be limited to the one-story building. So you may have to expand upon number one condition number two. Because it said the use shall be limited to the existing one-story building, and then the second condition was the use shall be limited to a deli and small convenience store.
But that was...
You need to expand that to show that you could use the second building for a purpose of storage. Or maybe they want to get more detail about what the concert use is.
Right. Number one, if it was amended, the use shall be limited to an existing one-story building and the existing two-story masonry building to be used in concert with the deli. Would that be adequate?
I would think that would be adequate, Mr. Moore.
There's another one in the back.
I see the pitch of your roof on the one-story building is
just one story.
Relatively high. Do you intend to utilize that attic space?
Mr. Hill, that's a question to you. The question is the pitch of the roof on the one-story deli. Do you have any intention to utilize that pitch for any purposes?
The confusion all I have is it says existing one-story building. And when I see that, that's not a one-story building.
Yeah, it's a truss. There's no storage upstairs.
Randy, need to
it is a truss.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Randy Hill. No, it's a one-story building. It's got 12-foot ceilings. It's all trussed, so there's no storage upstairs.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it was just replicating the prior building.
The basic intent of this two-story building would be an accessory use for storage. It wouldn't be an office, but it wouldn't be any retail activity out of that building.
Okay.
So that would clear it up.
Okay, I will add then, possibly if the council so desires, the use shall be limited to the existing one-story building and the two-story masonry building in concert with the deli as storage and office space.
Doesn't appear to be any objection to that.
Okay. And do you have anything else? Any other witnesses?
No other witnesses.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sterling Pusey. I live at 13027 Sycamore Road in Laurel. I'm here in support of Mr. Hill and his deli. The only point I have is since he purchased the place in 2009, he just didn't turn contractors loose and tell them to have at it. He's worked diligently himself and hauled several trailers of debris from the fire and kept up with contractors hauling rubbish away and trash and kept the grass looking nice. And he's turned it from, I know you've been submitted pictures, I've seen them, and pictures don't do it justice. He's turned it into a very respectable place. I know the people on that side of Laurel are excited about it, and it will serve the county well on that side of the county. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? If not, is there anyone here in opposition? Is there anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, I think it's appropriate to close the record on this public hearing and to call the to end the public hearing.
Any comment from council? Okay, we'll close it. And I believe you can read the title.
Okay, this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a deli and small convenience store to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 0.41 acre more or less, subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be limited to the existing one-story building and the two-story masonry building in concert with the deli as storage and office. Two, the use shall be limited to a deli and small convenience store as well as the two-story building being used in concert as deli and, or excuse me, as storage and office. Three, the parking shall meet or exceed the parking requirements contained in the zoning code. Four, the hours of operation shall be limited to the hours between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Five, one double-sided lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. Six, all exterior lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Seven, the sale or storage for sale of gas, diesel, or kerosene is prohibited. Eight, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Excuse me. That's my vote.
I have a motion from Mr. Cole. Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah. Okay. Motion from Mr. Cole, a second from Mr. Vincent to approve conditional use 1865 application of Randy L. Hill. The findings and conditions read by Mr. Moore. Any further discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Yes, for the reasons given by Planning and Zoning and with the conditions as read by Mr. Moore.
Mr. Wilson.
It's good to see it built back after sitting there for 50-some years, or maybe longer. I can remember. But anyway, it's good to see it back, and I'm in favor of it.
Mr. Colt.
I'll vote yes. It has a history of that use, and this will bring it back into compliance with earlier uses.
Mr. Vincent.
Yes.
I think it would be a good thing for the western side of Laurel. Based on planning and zoning recommendations, I vote yes.
I live 3 minutes from here. I'm looking forward to going and getting a sub. I vote yes.
Yeah.
Motion carried. Anything else for council? We will second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And I will pay for that sub, just for the record.